From Times Square in Hong Kong, you're listening to a podcast from the South China Morning Post.
Welcome to the beginning of the Spring Festival, otherwise known as the Lunar New Year, otherwise known as the Chinese New Year in this part of the world. Here we are on the verge of the Year of the Ox. But this is going to be a very different sort of New Year celebration for people across China this year. My name is Qinling Lo, and welcome to the Inside China podcast. I am here in this mostly empty office of the South China Morning Post in Hong Kong. Outside on the streets, you can see some of the traditional preparations for the weeks ahead. There's lots of advertising in red with different representations of oxes. And the flower shops are fully stocked with mandarin plants. But for Hong Kongers like me, normally about this time of the year, I would be thinking about the big New Year dinner with my family. But not this year. Pandemic restrictions are still in force. The city is still struggling to beat the virus. While millions are being vaccinated across Europe and the United States, we here in Hong Kong are still waiting for public vaccination to start, and the government has now resorted to what's being described as ambush lockdowns, where police officers and health officials in white biosuits turn up to apartment buildings without notice, and no one is allowed to leave the sealed area until every resident is tested. But even with these lockdowns, the latest update here in Hong Kong is 32 new cases of COVID-19. And in mainland China, just one day before Chun Yun, the annual mass migration of more than a billion people heading home for the new year, there were 54 new COVID-19 infections reported. In this podcast, we are going to take you from Hong Kong to Shenzhen to Beijing to show you how the pandemic is affecting China's biggest annual holiday festival. Let's head to Shenzhen first. We have here with us Phoebe Zhang, my colleague. So Phoebe, where are you right now?
I'm in Shenzhen, the southern city bordering Hong Kong.
I forgot where your hometown is. Are you going home this year?
Yes, my hometown is in Nanjing. It's in Jiangsu province. It's in the eastern part of China. And I'm actually going home tomorrow.
Wow, good for you. Because I know many Chinese people seem like they don't really have plans to go back for a new year because of some quarantine measures. Do you know anything about this?
Yeah, sure. Actually, half of my friends are staying in the city that they work because of complicated restrictions over traveling over the Chinese New Year. In order to travel back, you have to have a nucleic test in advance, and then your QR code has to be green, which means you haven't been traveling outside your province for the past 2 weeks. And when you get to your city, the odds are you'll be checked for your QR code and for your testing. And then if you're going to the rural areas, the villages, you'll be asked to stay home for 2 weeks for observation. It's not a quarantine, but you'll be asked to stay home as much as possible and check your temperature constantly.
Are you just going to stay indoors most of the time?
I actually just got my nucleic test yesterday and it showed negative. So that means I have a free pass to travel back. And when I get home, I think I will be visiting some family members, but I will do it with caution, like with my mask on, and try to limit interactions as much as possible.
And since you went for the nucleic testing, can you take us through how that is like?
Yes, actually, in order to increase capacity, Shenzhen has opened up hundreds of new centers. They've recruited community centers that used to be, just for health checks. And they've asked those people to help with nucleic testing. You basically register online on your cell phone, and when you go there, you go through the same process like you would getting a medical exam at the hospital, and then they basically just stick a cotton swab in your throat, and you can get the testing result the next day.
And when you were doing the test, did you have to queue up for a long time? And how was the mood like in the centers?
I think the mood is the people who were there at the centers were mostly people traveling home. So it's a sense of I have to get this. You know, it's just something that they had to go through. So it's a sort of a matter of fact that I had to get this done. They were queuing up for a long time for sure. I think it was also a little bit chaotic because they were not equipped. It was a very small community center, so they were not equipped for this many people queuing up and get tested. But at the same time, they had to do it as fast as possible because the government required, I think they had to do it less than 48 hours. They had to turn out the result in order for those people to get the result and hit the road.
So it seems like there are still quite a number of people trying to go home like you. We know that the Chinese authorities were actually trying to limit the number of people in Chunyun this year, and Shenzhen has millions of migrant workers. So do you know like how they feel about that, and how will they be celebrating New Year instead?
Yeah, I think actually the Shenzhen government is providing a lot of incentives for people to stay back. They're distributing free park tickets. Some companies are offering money, red envelopes for people who are staying back. It could be anywhere from a couple hundred yuan to maybe a couple thousand. And I was actually just walking along some of the villages in Shenzhen, and I was talking to some migrant workers who are staying, who have restaurants or who are mail delivery men. And it seems a lot of them are staying this year because if they go back, they have to stay home for 14 days and they have to get testing, and it's just a complicated process and they feel it's not worth it.
So Phoebe, for me this year in Hong Kong, I don't think I'll be getting a lot of red packets because I'm not having big family gatherings anymore. But good for you because you're going home and you'll be meeting your family, and I expect you will be needing to give out some lices. Can you take us through what the culture is like for Chinese people and how much money do you usually give out?
Yes, for Chinese New Year, usually the elderly in the family, they would hand out red envelopes to the young children. And usually it could be anywhere from 50 yuan to a couple hundred yuan. And this year, as a married woman, I would have to be the one handing out to the younger, the cousins and my nephews and nieces.
Do you still get red envelopes yourself then from seniors in the family?
No, they consider if you're married, then you're on your own.
And Phoebe, this year, how are you going to get home?
This year, we're driving all the way back to Nanjing. It's going to be a 15-hour drive, but we're doing it so that we don't get stopped by the police on the train or get our flights canceled, which happened a lot last year.
Right. So I wish you and your family an early Happy New Year, and also I wish you a very smooth journey back home. So Kin Chan, you are living in Beijing right now and you're in our Beijing office. Can you tell us what the mood is like in China's capital city?
It's really strange right now. Because there's not a lot of changes going on. Usually during the Chinese New Year, this time of the year, Beijing would be very quiet. So people are usually in a holiday mood, but this year is not the case. A lot of people have decided to stay where they work and not travel back home. So it's very much like business as usual, but it's not usual.
As for you, are you going home?
I am not, unfortunately. So I didn't go back home last year because of the pandemic. I stayed in Beijing, and this year I am staying in Beijing again. My home is in Shanghai. It's 3 hours flights away. I'm not going back home because basically Beijing has this new regulations in terms of Chinese New Year travels. It's making it very, very difficult to go back home. You still can go back home, but you have to do multiple COVID testings, and you might still have to face quarantines if there is a local outbreak. So it's just too much hassle. I did the calculation. If I were to go back home to Shanghai, I have to do 4 COVID testing. The first one is when I leave Beijing to enter Shanghai. The second one is when I leave Shanghai to go back to Beijing. The third and the fourth one is after I arrived in Beijing, I have to do it once in the 7th day and another time in the 14th day to prove that I'm still healthy.
So how are you spending your New Year?
Well, on a New Year's Eve, I'm working, but on the night, I'm going to go out to have like a friend party with my friends in town. like I said, a lot of people are not traveling back home, so it is super easy to find your peers and your friends stuck in the same position as you are. So we're gonna party.
So a couple of weeks ago, we heard from our video reporter Thomas Yao, who described the mood in Shanghai as very patriotic and victorious, and people there think China has already defeated the virus. How would you describe the mood of Beijingers?
I would say it's a lot of stress, because a lot of people are trying to plan their travel back home just a few weeks ago. And then all of a sudden, Beijing has ruled out these new rules that you have to do all these testings and those extra testings. So people changed their plans. People canceled their flights. I changed my plans last week. And for a week, I was like agonizing. I was like, should I change? Should I not change? Is there going to be new rules? And then, you know, at the end, you just have to make the call at some point. So I think the patriotic side, people did feel it maybe a while ago when China first contained the virus. But now it's kind of dragged on. That good feeling has already passed. Right now, I think everybody's just over the pandemic. They just want to go home and chill. But there are a ton of people who couldn't go home and chill this year. You know, for me, it's not a big deal. I can save this holiday and go back home in a later day. But for many migrant workers in China and in Beijing, the Chinese New Year is really the only holiday they have every year to go home. And a lot of them might not be able to do that this year. So it is a huge sacrifice that the government is asking people to make. And a lot of people are making it, whether they like it or not.
So in the beginning of this podcast, I talked about how Hong Kong streets are decorated with ox representations and Mandarin plants along the streets. Can you give us a sense of how the streets look like in Beijing?
They're starting to have a lot of bright red colored decorations popping up on the streets of Beijing. You see plastic red lanterns. You see kind of red stuffed ox animals, and then like red feichun, which is like the paper strips with calligraphies written on them, and people hang on the side of their doorways. So a lot of Chinese New Year themed decorations. You know, Beijing is very, very cold during this time of the year, so they're on a lot of plants. You basically see these empty tree branches next to these very bright colored decorations.
So Ken, I know that you've written an explainer on the year of ox, which is the coming year in the Chinese zodiac. So there is a bit that I have to confess that as a Chinese person, I don't really know much about the Chinese zodiac. So can you explain to us how this works?
Well, you know, King Lin, that makes the two of us, because I grew up in Shanghai and I didn't really know much about Chinese zodiac apart from that I am a snake. And my dad is a dog and my mom is a dragon. And the sequence of the 12 animals. That's basically it. That's all I knew until I was assigned to write this article. So basically what I learned is that this 12 animals that people use, it came from a very ancient kind of math system. People used to use the 12 animal symbols as a way to calculate and record time, dates, and years. It was their watch, basically. They use rat, ox, tiger, rabbit, dragon, snake, horse, sheep, monkey, rooster, dog, and pig to represent the 12 hours of the day. And that's just kind of a fun way to memorize it, I guess, for the peasants in the country. I learned a lot about Asian Chinese history and just how this system evolved to become the cultural symbol it is now. It was a journey, and I didn't expect it to be a kind of a story history lesson. So, Karen, what sign are you?
So I'm a monkey. And since you wrote that story on the ox, is there anything I should be aware of in this coming year of ox as a monkey person?
No, I don't. But I do know someone who really knows it all, and I think I'm going to make a podcast episode with that person.
I look forward to finding out my own fortune for next year in your upcoming podcast. 新年快乐, Ken. See you.
Thank you. 新年快乐 to you as well.
So we've earlier just heard from Phoebe in Shenzhen about how half of her friends are actually not going home this year. We have here with us my other colleague from the South China Morning Post, Marsha Barak, a tech reporter. She will tell us how the government is planning to make more people stay at home this year. Hello, Marsha.
Hi. So yeah, this year, the Chinese authorities actually urged the public to go online to satisfy their needs for entertainment or shopping or even festive meals. And at the same time, they also call tech companies to actually meet that user demand and, you know, play their role in containing the latest coronavirus outbreak. So for example, officials, you know, they ask online video services if they can increase their offerings of free films for the Chinese New Year so people would stay home and watch some nice content and not be so bored if they cannot travel at home. And for catering businesses too, so platforms which deliver food in China, such as Meituan and Ele.me, they've been asked to connect with the catering businesses so they can offer more choices for people who are staying at home. For example, if you're not traveling to your family, but you do want to have a meal, a Chinese New Year celebratory meal, you can order it on a platform just for one person. You don't have to do all the cooking by yourself, right?
That's what the government wanted, but how are these tech companies responding?
Well, of course, I think they responded very enthusiastically. I mean, it's good for their business. So, for example, e-commerce platform Taobao, they now let people send gifts to their family through the platform in case they don't get to see them this year. And they will also subsidize delivery workers to make sure everything arrives.
So Marsha, you've just mentioned a few names. Ele.me and Taobao both are owned by Alibaba, which owns the South China Morning Post. So obviously the Lunar New Year is a lot about food. Marsha, you just mentioned that the food delivery platforms will see a different scope of business this year, perhaps because of the extraordinary situation under COVID. But we also know that you covered a lot of controversies surrounding the work situation of these food delivery staff. So can you recap for us what happened and how do you think the situation will be for this coming holiday season?
So back in January, there was a couple of incidents, very serious ones that like kind of pushed food delivery workers into the spotlight. And this is a problem that has been happening all over the world because these are gig workers. They don't have a lot of legal protections. They usually work for very low pay. And in China, it can get even, you know, more severe because there's so much competition between them. And for example, in January, a man set himself on fire over unpaid wages. And just 2 weeks ago, a delivery driver died while on the job. So there has been a lot of discussion about how to ensure better working conditions for these delivery drivers, like insurance or normal pay.
So apart from stopping people from dining outside, the Chinese government has just made Netflix and chill a public policy. Marsha, tell us how this is going to work.
So Chinese New Year is usually a time similar to Christmas when Chinese movies makers, they make a lot of these family movies and people see them together. Since last year, the pandemic hit and nobody could go anywhere, a lot of these video platforms just decided to make deals with the production houses and play them online. For example, Douyin, which is the Chinese version of TikTok, they played some pretty big names on their short video platforms during last year. And this year is going to be the same. So both Douyin and even Netflix-style video service iQIYI, they announced they will make some movies free and TV shows free so people would not feel as lonely this year of the Hawks.
So Marsha, another online aspect of the Lunar New Year these days is about red packets being paid in digital money. Can you take us through how that all started?
So yeah, red packets are a traditional part of Chinese New Year where usually older family members give envelopes full of money to younger family members. And even it happens in firms where bosses give employees some kind of bonus in a red packet. So that tradition has been digitized in 2014 thanks to Tencent's WeChat, the social network. So people started just sending these digital red packets full of money, and that's what drove WeChat into such a primary position in China's social media market. And this year too, this trend will continue. For example, Douyin and another rival of it called Kuaishou, which has recently IPO'd, are expected to give a lot of money through these virtual red packets.
So they just give people money?
Yeah, it's like a lucky draw. So if you're one of the lucky users, you will get some money out of it. But of course, it's a tactic to increase their user numbers during the Chinese New Year, right?
So it looks like these tech companies are expecting to do quite well this year for the holiday season.
Yes, this is actually a continuation of the pandemic trend that pushed so many tech companies forward last year. So China was very much online even before 2020. You could get any kind of service through apps, but last year was a really big moment for so many platforms. I mean, even worldwide, you just have to remember what Zoom did to our communications. So in China, a lot of new products in online education came out. Many big tech companies such as Alibaba, Tencent, and ByteDance came out with their version of work tools such as Slack. And we saw other online trends, like people started watching shows and concerts online. Contactless payment became much more popular. And even delivery companies started investing more in robotics and automating so they can avoid the contact with customers.
So obviously I'm going off for the Chinese New Year, but Marsha, I hope that you're not. So what story are you working on?
So me and my team, at least those of us who stay here, are going to be covering the Chinese New Year gala, where Douyin, for example, is the exclusive partner. The gala is organized every year by CCTV, and Douyin is also going to give some free money in the form of digital red packets. And one of the trends we're expecting to see really grow during this Chinese New Year is social e-commerce. It's basically buying through social platforms. People join into groups and purchase an item for a discounted price. So a lot of big tech companies have been investing in this mode of business. And during Chinese New Year's, because a lot of people may stay in cities, it's likely that this trend will really take off.
Sounds like you're a bit busy, and we look forward to reading stories from you and the tech team. Thank you, Marsha.
Thank you.
That's all we have for you this week from Inside China. This is the last podcast you'll hear from me in the year of the rat. We'll see you in the year of the ox. And don't forget, we have a special edition of Inside China podcast coming out this Lunar New Year on the fortunes of all Chinese zodiac signs in this coming year of ox. And I wish you Gong Hei Fa Chai. May you be happy and prosperous. Man Si Yu Yi. May everything go well for you. But most importantly, San Tai Jin Hong. I wish you good health. My name is Kinling Lo. Early Happy New Year and goodbye.
For more podcasts from the South China Morning Post, head to scmp.com, where you can hear more about technology, trade, culture, and society.